Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I've got a bit of a health update. I'm going to have to go on IR for a few weeks soon. I have to have surgery.
Well, yeah, kind.
I am having.
You're getting the hair back.
No.
You're getting the plugs.
My body. Google.
Well, then I don't know what else you could
toe
be doing.
Fusion.
Can we call Shut you? Up. Are you being
big
Julie?
Toe fusion.
No.
Are you getting your fusion. Gallbladder taken out?
Wait, they just take your toe and they put it on the end of your dick and you got a bigger penis?
Yeah,
what? James, I'm so excited for
I
you.
I wish.
I'm sorry, I wish your dick that
wait, are you going to do both big toes or just one?
And like, do my thumbs as well.
You're never going to kick a soccer ball again.
You have to clip your dick nail at that point? Like,
there's me wishing I'd never said anything. Fuck you both.
What's up, Houdat Nation? And welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast, the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and on this episode, we have Wesley and James. Jason has the day off. I'm podcasting from the car, so you might hear some peanut gallery comments. I don't know if you'll actually be able to hear them or not, but that's my kids who have some opinions on the rule changes. But on this episode, we're going to talk about the Saints first. We're going to talk about the running backs production. Wesley, you have a chart that you showed us in WhatsApp that you wanted to bring up about how terrible our running game was last year. And then Brian Ramczyk conversation to be had.
And we got a few comments from Dennis Allen today, actually.
Great. All right. Well, let's start with the running back chart that you have.
Yeah. So this chart was put out that was averaging showing the yards after contact per touch. And then also missed tackles forced and yards after contact per touch. So it's the way it was combining one, how many yards a running back gets each touch and also after contact. So this is not necessarily, I mean, it really isn't weighted to how bad your offensive line is. This shows like what your running back does once a defender gets to him. I guess the one thing this chart doesn't offset necessarily is if your entire offensive line lets multiple defenders get to the running back at the same time. Obviously it becomes harder to work through contact at that point.
Those defenders get to your running back.
Right. So, you know, kind of one of those charts or graphs that you see where if you're in the top right corner, that's a really good thing. And if you're in the bottom left corner, that's a really bad thing. I think that as Saints fans this past year, we were used to seeing the Saints towards the bottom left on many of those kind of graphs. And there are some good running backs and names in the top right, like Devin Achane, the running back from Texas A&M that went to the Miami Dolphins that had a pretty incredible rookie season, is in the top right, along with you know, James Conner, Raheem Mostert, again, Miami Dolphin, Breece Hall, Antonio Gibson. And then the far bottom left one, there's two running backs that are all by themselves and probably wouldn't have been on the graph. They probably like had to actually move their helmets to put them on the graph. But it was a Kareem Hunt and Jamal Williams. No Saints fan is probably surprised too much by Jamal Williams. But the two running backs that are the closest to Jamal Williams, so we're talking about like third and fourth worst, is Ezekiel Elliott, who's extremely washed up and barely got a job this year and probably won't have one next year, and Alvin Kamara, which has to probably be alarming to most fans because Kendre Miller hasn't shown he could be healthy or run well when healthy, except for at the very, very end of the season. So it's not like that young guy is necessarily in the house that we can count on for 15, 16, 17 games in a season.
I mean, is this an indictment of our offensive line more than it is Kamara?
I don't think so. I mean, again, unless you're
offensive scheme.
Now, maybe offensive scheme. It's not going to help when you're calling running plays, when you call the same running play, the same down and distance every single time and you're predictable.
Right.
Sure. That stuff doesn't help. And so I think that probably it skews why these two guys are two of the three or four worst. So that's probably scheme wise,
right. But
it's also probably an indictment that Alvin Kamara is getting older, isn't as explosive. He's an older running back at the end of his big contract.
Was there a cutoff for number of snaps on that graph? Because I'd be interested to see where Taysom Hill would have fit on that.
Yeah, it definitely was. You had to get to a minimum amount of touches, minimum of 100 touches. And this is running back.
Right, okay.
Running back positions, I got a minimum of 100 touches.
Right, okay.
So Taysom wouldn't have qualified.
Wouldn't have qualified. Because he was our best runner last year by some distance.
Yep.
For the both Saints running backs to be where they are says a lot more about our offense than it does about maybe those particular guys. Well, or maybe not Jamal Williams, but.
Well, I think the thing that scares me is if this year we are obviously going to go to a system that's better for our running backs. But if we're now going to a better system with two running backs who are one more year over the hill.
Yeah.
Like for them to be both this bad, I think it's a combination of the two, is that they weren't as good, but also probably the system's pretty awful. Now we're talking about brand new system, those same two running backs also worse, because I mean just naturally getting older. And so that becomes, you really start hoping that Kendre Miller actually becomes a viable running back. I think he's got the skills, as long as being healthy is not one of the skills.
One of them.
If he can fix that, you know, with our amazing doctor and training team, obviously that gives you some hope again. But I think there's quite a few Saints players that we need to be good this year, and that if you actually go into the season counting on them to be good for your success, you're just being crazy at this point. But that's kind of a Saints thing. We've done that with Michael Thomas for multiple years in a row, and off different offensive linemen multiple years in a row. And
I mean, looking at this, you've got to hope that Kendre Miller makes a big step. You know, you were talking about it before, stays healthy.
But again, like that's kind of, we're going to probably have a conversation here in a minute where we also say that our point of our success is that Trevor Penning takes a huge step. And for you to say that either one of them, you're counting on them to take a huge step, is pretty dumb. Like, you're hoping for it, but to make it a plan, the plan depends on them taking a huge step. That's rough.
Yeah, you wouldn't bet a lot of money on that being the case.
What does help your running backs though is we talked about Trevor Penning, is the health of your offensive line. If you have a healthy, experienced veteran offensive line that all works together, that could help your running game.
And so we're fucked.
And,
is that a
and
segue?
We don't.
Is that a segue? Into Ryan and
yes,
I think that was a segue. Yeah, I think it was.
Right. So, yeah, what happened? Dennis Allen made some comments about Ramchek's knee or something?
Well, he said a month ago, didn't he, that Ramczyk thought his knee was in a good place and better than it should have been. But then a month later, Dennis Allen comes out and says, actually, it's probably not quite where it needs to be. And there's a fairly strong chance that he will not be suiting up for the Saints this year.
So this is why
I don't believe Chase Young is going to suit up for the Saints either.
So when we heard that Ryan Ramczyk was going to have this knee surgery and that everybody felt good about it, that probably, again, stupidly gave us hope, because all we've heard about his knee condition is that it was a degenerative knee condition that was going to get worse. And I'm not sure what surgery you do for that, to be clear, in case anybody's wondering, I'm not a doctor. But that's degenerative knee condition that we're going to have surgery on. Doesn't sound like it's just going to turn around and go back the right way. But we probably should have been more alarmed when the Saints and Ryan Ramczyk redid his contract a few weeks ago, and they redid his contract to where the only money he's guaranteed was the exact dollar amount that what his injury guarantee was for, $6.5 million. Now, looking back, reading the tea leaves, we should have been like, that's alarming, because why would Ryan Ramczyk do that?
Yeah.
Unless he's just helping, like, hey, my career's over. You're already going to give me that $6.5 million, and you're not going to have to give me any more. I'll go ahead and rework my deal to make it look like you have more space than you do. There's no other reason he'd take a $10 million pay cut, or 11 or whatever it was. I mean, it's...
It kind of got glossed over, didn't it, when the contract restructure was announced?
It was all in the other ones. Like, oh, look, all these guys that just want to be Saints and taking pay cuts for fun. This is so cool. Like, wow, Mickey did it again. And it's like, now it's, why didn't we sign an offensive lineman if we knew this was coming? That's cool that we took care of the cap thing. But also, somebody
does need to have that body on the line.
Somebody does need to take his spot.
Yeah.
And it sure seems like the Saints are not engaging with Andres Pete about being back. I mean, he's now, what I assume is going to happen with him is that he's going to have, it looks like he has absolutely no market whatsoever. So if he's going to take a cheap deal, like, what, it should be here. This is the place he might have some playing time.
Yeah, I think I've only heard that Tennessee had him in for a visit. I think that was it.
Tennessee, and it seems like maybe I heard his name with Houston, but that I don't think he actually went there. I mean, it was a Tennessee visit is all we've heard about.
It does seem very much like he is going to potentially come back on a much cheaper, but aren't we already paying him dead money this year anyway?
If he was going to come back here, it made sense for the Saints to lean into that before. I think that also, like, this ruins, like, the Saints were close to being at their pre-draft strategy of best player available of, you know, there's places we need help, but we've plugged every huge gaping hole with a temporary fix of there's at least somebody signed to the roster that can play their position. Our first round draft pick is an offensive lineman, period.
Which,
to be fair, isn't like a bad position, because it looks like we're going to have a pick of some incredible offensive linemen that are almost surefire. Like, they're not project offensive linemen or defensive ends. they look like, I mean, there's three or four guys that we're going to choose, which is our favorite there at 14.
I think there's only going to be one that goes before we pick a 14 in all honesty, maybe two, maybe the Jets might take one. Joe Alt. Yeah. And I think the Jets might take an offensive lineman, but yeah, it's a pretty deep class for O-lineman projected to be in the first round. And obviously with the run on QBs that's expected,
and the run on quarterbacks, there's going to be an offensive lineman available at 14 that normally would go like number 8 overall for sure. Whether the Saints pick the right one, I don't know.
I mean, look, we're all going to be disappointed on draft night if that's what we end up picking, because we all want, we want a skill position player. We want a toy. But, you know, offensive lineman isn't a sexy pick.
No, at this point, it's the most important pick. At this point, we really don't have a choice, I think. I mean, it's rough looking.
You know, you and I were both sure that we were going to draft Olave the year we drafted Olave. We're both sure we're going to draft an offensive lineman with the pick 14 this year.
In mock drafts I'm doing, it is a matter of Dallas Turner, Brock Bowers, or Jaden Daniels falls to 14. I'm taking an offensive lineman because that's what's happening. It has to.
Yeah, no. Is this the year that I'm just waffling on a bit now, but is this the year the Saints drop back a few positions to gain a couple of extra picks? Do you think they're going to pick a 14?
I mean, if they can trade up to 7 and get Joe Alt, they will. Like, they're not. I mean, let's go ahead and trade next year's first round draft pick. That's probably going to be a top 5 pick.
Yeah, that is probably more likely. Let's be honest. It is. But I mean, on Ramczyk, it is a shame that he's got that knee injury, because he has been really, really good. His first three seasons were special.
The stuff that he went through, and the way that he should have been a higher drafted person, that he fell because he didn't know if he had a love for football and how that was going to all work out, and went on to be, I mean, one of the best right tackles in the entire game, was great. What I'm confused about is that even us with very limited information knew that we've known for 2.5-3 years that this knee thing was going to cut off his career early. Now, again, to be fair, Ryan Ramczyk hasn't retired. We're speculating of that.
Yeah.
His contract was redone, and Dennis Allen looked and sounded sad at a press conference today. But if
some people would say he looks and sounds like that all the time.
Well, that's just kind of his face. Yeah. It just seems like we weren't prepared for this. Like, even if Trevor Penning worked out, let's say they have faith in Trevor Penning that he's going to be a left tackle, we still haven't replaced the right tackle. If we're going to do what Trevor Penning's been doing, and Trevor Penning's terrible, we don't have a left tackle or a right tackle.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And we have 2 picks in the first 3 rounds, and we have other holes.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm going to pop you.
I'm assuming the Saints knew more about Ryan Ramczyk's knee than we as fans have known. So them not preparing for this all is kind of crazy.
Is it coincidental timing that Mike Thomas came out again talking about the Saints medical staff and how shitty they are, because they basically put everybody through the same rehab process no matter what their injury is, which is, I don't know, part of me is like, okay, he's just yapping. The other part of me is but maybe they just put Ryan Ramczyk through the same rehab as they did him, and they have one rehab process for everybody.
Well, I think Michael Thomas's comments were in reply to an article about Ramczyk, or a tweet about Ramczyk and his injury. So, well, I'm at the point now where the Michael Thomas thing is just a disgruntled ex-employee. Just go and sign somewhere and get on with your life.
I took the Michael
Thomas
thing.
Those things are living rent-free in Michael Thomas's head.
I think Michael Thomas was trying to like twist it around, like the Saints blamed him for his not recovering, which from what we know, he kind of was to blame. Like, the Saints today were trying to blame Ryan Ramczyk because he went to a different doctor than their doctor and had this other surgery. That's not what the Saints were doing. The Saints were happy about the surgery he was going to have and hopeful, and it just didn't work out. And they were just announcing that, that he was trying to draw a parallel. I tell you what, and just while we're missing this, Michael Thomas is surely driving his price down to where he might, I think somebody will give him a veteran minimum deal to come in, and because he was good 3 years ago, but, and even last year when healthy, was on pace to have 750 yards receiving. But like, I can't imagine anybody even giving him a whole bunch of incentives on a deal. Like, he's just basically gonna get a veteran minimum deal if he wants to play football. I guarantee there's quite a few teams in the league that are just, he's already off their chart.
Not even worth the hassle. You know, I think I spoke a couple of weeks ago where I was like, you know, as like, devastated he's leaving. It's not, you know, it didn't work out how it should have done because of injury. You've left. Just move on. Just go and get on with your life. Go and spend your millions you've earned and just leave the Saints alone. Of course, Saints Twitter's lapping it up because that's what we do.
And what Michael Thomas screwed up on is when he was directly attacking Dennis Allen or directly attacking Jeff Duncan, people were going to rally behind that. Now you're just kind of like being vague and whiny. Nobody thinks that's like, this didn't make sense. And so people aren't, I don't think, going to be as much behind it as when you're specifically kind of attacking some of those. And then also DA said that, I don't know if he was saying that Willie Gay said it or the Saints and Willie Gay agreed, but Willie Gay got signed here to compete to be a starter, which we kind of wondered if when that signing happening, if it was Willie Gay, competing with Pete Werner for snaps, because Werner didn't continue his upward trajectory that he had in the first couple of years. That was verbalized today, which is kind of a crazy thing to say, rather than just keeping in house that there's a competition there, to flat out put it out there. I think the Saints probably have some big plans for Willie Gay. And I don't know if maybe the Saints want Willie Gay to win that competition. It didn't sound like a line to inspire Pete Werner. It sounded like a line to inspire Willie Gay almost.
Yeah, it was almost a warning to Pete Werner, to be honest, wasn't it? Because there's no way DeMario's not gonna play. If he's fit, he plays.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. But we seem to have a competition at linebacker.
Which I'm telling you, with the speed and explosiveness of both him and DeMario together is crazy and great. So it could really, really be good there at linebacker.
It worked when it was Quan Alexander and DeMario Davis, didn't it, for that glorious 6-week spell before his ankle went pop.
For sure. I mean, the Steelers saw that this last year with Quan. Like, when he was healthy, he was still, I know, talking to Jeff Hartman, like, he couldn't believe that how late they got Quan with, once you, because I went and talked to him. I'm like, no, the dude's awesome, fun. Everybody loves him, gets the crowd pumped. He's going to be a heat-seeking missile until he's not.
just there might be some times where he misses.
Yeah. I told him, I warned him. He might be on the wrong side of the field. Some, he's not Stephon Alexander wrong side of the field, like, on all the time. And then kind of last thing I know, DA did talk about Chase Young, and just said, I mean, his exact quote was, "I think he's extremely talented. I think he's extremely motivated." Listen, nobody's going to argue with him being talented. He's the number two overall pick. And even through his struggles, nobody's ever questioned whether or not he should have been the number two overall pick. He won defensive rookie of the year. He is still, to this day, he's only 24. I can't believe it, is as talented physically and all that, and physical traits and football traits of any defensive end in football. Is motivation a problem? Have injuries been a problem? He's working on one of them. The other one actually is fixed, I mean, that's you're not going to be able to afford him in 2025, but it will be a fun 2024.
Yes. Yeah. And on injured defensive ends, the story came out over the last couple of days about how injured Cam Jordan was last year. I think he came out on Twitter today and said that he injured his ankle in the first Falcons game. Never recovered from it.
End up having off-season surgery from an injury in the first week of the season.
So that might kind of hint that maybe what we thought was a decline last year isn't quite as much.
I mean, but he's old as fuck.
Oh, no, he is. He is, for sure. But, you know, with the injury, there was a reason why he was only seeing running downs towards the end of the seasons, because he had no pass rush. He had no explosiveness. So maybe we see an uptick from Cam.
I don't even
Can I just see him do
what he did in 2022? I don't need him to 2017, 18. Just like, can he be 2022 Cam again?
Yeah,
and Granderson, hey, you know what? The
sacks.
Two of them should
Chase
have
eight sacks. Cam Jordan, 8 sacks, 7 sacks, whatever it is. Sign me up.
Yeah. I mean, and listen, those guys are going to have opportunities with all the three and outs that our offense is going to put up this year. I mean, the defense is going to be on the field. I mean, it's they're going to get chances.
I think Lou Headley's going to have a busy season next year.
Oh my goodness. We have, I believe it's probably about like once every 3 weeks. I'm like, we didn't sign a punter.
No, we didn't.
There's going to be a couple of college guys, or maybe a couple of rugby guys brought in for competition. But it's weird that there's not 32 punters better than Lou Headley on the planet.
I think there probably is.
I do too.
There's at least one of them that isn't signed to.
There's one at least. It's not in the NFL. Hey, listen, I don't know what record we need to get expunged from. Whatever this, there's some criminal punter somewhere that he's doing the. We can remake the longest yard just for going to get a punter, right? There's gotta be one.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, Lou Headley looks like he came from prison, so that's kind of kind of.
He did, yeah. There. He did. Yeah, he did.
And hopefully there's a focus on having a better punter this year, since we're going to punt a lot from deeper in our own.
Well, with the fact that we don't have a left tackle and a right tackle currently, I don't think we're going to be moving the ball very far. Derek Carr better get full body armor, not just that one that was around his chest last year.
All right, and that's all the show we have for you today. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week, telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast. Don't forget to find us on social, search for Dome Patrol Podcast, and go ahead and check your podcast app. Give each episode a 5-star rating, make some comments, set up auto download so you can listen to the Dome Patrol Podcast anytime, anywhere.
What kind of surgery are you having, gallbladder?
James, remember that time that you were the cold open because we were talking about putting your toe on your dick?
Oh, they were fun times.
So what are you doing?
So what's really going on with your toe?
So I damaged my big toe on my right foot about 12 years ago, and I've got bone spurs on the joint, and my toe's just a mess, painful all the time. So they are gonna open it up, clean the bone spurs out, and then fuse the bottom two joints of my big toe together. That is what
they
do.
Are they thinking
call you Michael Thomas?
Will it improve your 40 time?
It probably won't improve my 40 time. No.
Is it a 6-month recovery that's going to take 3 years?
It's anywhere between 3 and 6 months recovery.
Will you be in one of the boots for a while? So because they don't want the toe bending,
I think for
right?
2 weeks. I think that's
actually not terrible.
Yeah, I think for 2 weeks I'll be in a boot, maybe a week on crutches as well.
The crutches are terrible.
So when you felt the pain, you thought your cells were dividing, and you said like, "Oh, mitosis hurting."
Is it really just like with pain management? It's what's leading to it.
It's my toe's a bit deformed. Actually, it has a massive lump on the side of it, you know, like a bunion you get on your foot. I've got that, but on my big toe. So, I can't, like new shoes. I really struggle putting new shoes on because they're tight around the thing. So that's why I'm doing it.
Okay.
What's the worst that could happen?
His toe can fall off.
Well, they could amputate it and stitch it to my dick.
The worst that can happen is they accidentally, right. They attach it to his dick.
Actually, the worst would be the opposite.
They fuse my dick to my toe.
Yes. bring new meaning to pussyfooting around.
See, Jeff, that's a funny joke.